Somebody ever said something bad to you? I hate you. You're dumb. You're stupid. You know, you'll never amount to anything. It could have come even from a parent or a sister or brother or a friend, supposedly. And maybe you've been told that enough that at some point you almost believed it. And you just accepted that into your life. The title of my message tonight is Who Are You? I could say, well, I'm Wayne, and I was born in such and such a time and such a place. Yeah, but who are you? And that's what it's really important for us to know who we are. Amen. Who we are. Very, very important that we understand that. Now, God's wonderful creation was interrupted in the Garden of Eden by the fall of man due to sin. In his foreknowledge, God knew what would happen and had a marvelous plan that he would reveal to mankind over a period of time in which the serpent, or the devil, his head would be crushed by the seed of the woman who had succumbed to temptation. And the result of sin, as you ought to know, is death. And that sin passed down to us, down through all the ages, all the way down, every man since Adam and Eve. Every person that was ever born was born in sin. And so it's like all mankind is guilty before God and deserves nothing but death and hellfire. Man was guilty. Man had to die and suffer punishment. And even though God had set up a temporary system in which an innocent animal would take the place of the guilty one and die, that sacrifice pointed to a time in history when God would have to come down as a man in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life and would provide a perfect sacrifice for man, acceptable to God, to cover the sins of the world and provide payment to redeem us from the power of death. So we find ourselves today seeking to discover what God has done for us and to determine who we are and what we are to do as a result. We're going to be looking at several scriptures tonight that will maybe give us a better understanding of who we really are and what our purpose is in life. It's important we understand that. Not only who we are, but what is our purpose? Why are we here? Are we here to just sit around or have fun or whatever? What purpose is there for us in this earth? I'd like to look first of all at Ecclesiastes 3:11. And the Bible says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. The Garden of Eden was beautiful. We would love to live in the Garden of Eden if we were able to today. And also, another deal we noticed, it said, also, He has put eternity in their hearts. And when you think about that, I believe you could ask anybody in this world, if they were really honest, they would realize that life goes on after death. It doesn't end up when you go in the grave. Something happens, I'm still going to exist somewhere or something. I believe all humanity really knows that. The Lord said He's put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. You know, we don't understand everything that God does. His ways are higher than our ways. And mankind in general can't really find out what God's really doing. They don't understand what God is really doing. And I'll get into that subject in a minute. But we were created in the image of God, And there is something of God found in everyone. Did you know that you're really valuable to God? You are very valuable to God. You think, well, I'm nothing. I'm just nobody. No, you are valuable to God. So valuable that he ended up sending his son down here on this earth to suffer the way he did, to take all the sins of mankind from the beginning all the way to the end of the age upon himself, and he suffered that punishment and became a perfect sacrifice for us. You're worth something. You are valuable. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are not valuable, that you are not valuable. And we were created in the image of God. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. It's an interesting scripture. As in Adam all die. Well, you know, a life goes on so long and then we die. Doesn't mean we cease to exist, just we're dead. This physical body dies. So in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, all of us are really going to be living forever. All of us. The saint, the sinner, we're all going to be living forever. But you're either going to be living in a place called heaven and be with God, or you're going to be living in eternal fires of the lake of fire. And I know nobody here wants to be there. That's not a good place to go to. So we're all going to live forever. And as God has given each one of us a will that we can choose, Joshua said it like this. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the Amorites or, you know, whatever. That's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it's very important that we have that choice. And we have to make that choice. Now, I believe what, you know, I've been hearing it from many sources here lately. A lot of people really believe that Jesus is really coming soon, a lot sooner than most people realize. I believe it's right at the door, you know. So we need to be ready at all times to meet the Lord. So in Christ, all should be made alive. Colossians 3:10-11. It says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. So this new man, that when we give ourselves to the Lord, when we invite Jesus to come into our hearts, and when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, we're born again into a new being. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised. There's none of it doesn't make any difference what you wear. But Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a heaven up there for the Jews and a heaven up there for the Gentiles and a heaven for the Catholics and so on and so forth. No, it's going to be, we're all going to be one in Christ. Hallelujah. But Christ is all, and he's in all. This idea of being renewed, or who is renewed in knowledge, it's like it's presently being renewed. It's going on right now. This new man is being renewed. We're going to be more fully renewed when the Lord comes back and the rapture happens or whatever, we pass on from this life. But we will be renewed completely. And God has given, I believe this, God has given the ability for everybody to discover God. If you sense that there's a being out there, if you sense that there's a God out there, even though you don't know Him, you don't know anything about, no one's ever told you about Jesus or told you about God, you recognize that if you really sought after who it is up there, I believe you would find Him. Okay? Can you believe? Can you go along with that? I believe everybody has the ability to discover God if they're really hungry enough, if they really want to. Now, Romans 1:16-22 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The Word of God, if you believe it and follow it, it's got power. It will change you. It'll make you into His image. Hallelujah. Make you more like Him. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, in our walk with God, you'll find out sometimes you get into a hard place and you're required to exercise your faith. Okay? So you exercise your faith and you believe God for this particular thing you're going through or whatever's happening. Well, then as life goes on, there's going to be another deal. You're going to have to face this situation again. It'll be something different, maybe. Sure it will. You live from faith to faith to faith to faith. Your whole life, you're going to be having to exercise faith. And it's very important that you recognize that. You aren't going to get into heaven on a roller skate, so to speak. You know, somebody told me, well, when you get saved, all your problems are gone. No, all your problems are not gone. There are going to be obstacles. It's kind of like in a way of going into the promised land for the Israelites. There's battles to be fought. You're going to have to go through stuff like that. And so the just shall live by faith. It goes from faith to faith. It says, for the wrath of God, in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress it. You see that happening all the time. They suppress the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. We got to take God off the dollar. In God we trust. We got to take God out of the schools because we can't let the kids know about God. We've got to try to get rid of God wherever we can. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. They put it down. They try to hide it so that people don't have a chance to know about it. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can see the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you look at human creation, you look at the creation that God created, you recognize there had to be some divine person that was involved in doing that. I don't care what they say, it didn't evolve. Mankind didn't come from some gob that worked its way up out of the sea, you know, and grew legs. And I'm sorry. To me, it's a whole lot more faith to believe. I mean, you know, I don't see how they could go there. I really don't see how they can go there. So that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they knew He was there. They knew God. Yet they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but they came futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts We're darkened. And I'll tell you something, when you turn away from truth, pretty soon you will believe the lie. You will believe the lie. It's a dangerous thing to turn away from truth. Don't ever run from truth. And professing to be wise, they became fools. Oh, but they live in this enlightened society. You guys, the Christians, need to come out of the Stone Age, you know, and live where we live now. No, that's living in total darkness. They're walking in total ignorance. They're walking in blackness, darkness. They became fools. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, we've been saved by grace through faith, and we didn't get that by ourselves. It's a gift of God. And if it was a gift of God to me, it was a gift of God to you, it's a gift of God to every person on the face of the earth. God will give you enough faith to believe in Him if you'll believe, if you'll step out and accept it. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, it's interesting. The works don't get us to heaven. But when we're saved, God gives us good works to do. We can't earn our way to heaven by doing good works. But He has good works that He's prepared in advance for us to do. There's things that He's all set up. Before we ever came on the scene, He had work set up for us to do. And so the important thing for us is to walk in those works. Hallelujah. God has given each one of us enough faith to believe in Him. Romans 14:22-23. Paul's kind of talking here about a person that eaten meats that was offered as sacrifices in the temple. He said, you have faith, have it to yourself before God. Happy is the one who does not condemn himself in what he approves. If you approve this, there's nothing wrong with the meat. It's just in your mind. If you think that that's the devil's in there or something, well, then you need to listen to your mind then. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Now I want you to get this. Paul's most direct definition of sin. It's the state of being out of alignment with faith. The state of being out of alignment with faith. And it's not defined by the act itself. Say I were to tell a lie or something. But the underlayment is, why did I tell that lie? Was it make myself to look better or to try to shift the blame onto somebody else? See, it's not defined by the act itself, but the intention behind the act. The intention behind the act. I told a lie so that I wouldn't get in trouble. I've had things like that. I worked at a pulp mill, and I was in a position of authority, and I made a boo-boo one day that literally shut the whole mill down. It cost them thousands of dollars to get the mill up and running again, to get it back, the pulp to get on grade and everything else. And I said, I'm sorry. I goofed. I didn't say, well, somebody else did it. I don't know what happened. No, I knew what happened. Tell the truth. You're always good for telling the truth. And they didn't fire me. Now, if I'd have told a lie, maybe they might have. But anyway, I didn't. And they didn't fire me. So sin is a state of being out of alignment with faith, not defined by the act itself, but the intention behind the act. Faith is the alignment to the unseen kingdom we place our hope in, as expressed by Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is aligning ourselves to the unseen kingdom that we place our hope in, as expressed by Hebrews 11:1. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe that I'm saved. I don't see any evidence. I mean, in the sense that there's something here, they get a big neon deal up there, God show us from up in heaven, you are saved. No, I didn't get any of that. I don't know whether you did or not. But no, I believe that I'm saved. I have faith in the fact that God saved me because I followed His word and His orders and His directions. I'm saved. It's faith in the substance. That's what we hope for. It's not, I hope I'm saved. No, it's a hope that we have. And we can trust in that hope. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." We can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We can't even comprehend it. God is so big and so glorious. I just believe heaven's going to be a tremendously, tremendously wonderful place that we can't even imagine how wonderful it's really going to be. However, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. See, the natural man doesn't understand any of that. Natural man can't picture that at all. It's the Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So natural man in himself cannot know God or can find out the things about God. It's only revealed by His Spirit." We call it the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He makes the Bible come alive to us. You read the Bible, you can just read it like any other book, you know, and everything. It might not make a whole lot of sense to you. But you can read it, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive, and something like it just jumps right out at you. And when it does that, man, you want to grab a hold of that. You want to grab a hold. You want to pay attention to it. That's kind of a opportunity for you to step in and really get some good stuff from God. And we need to really do that. It's called the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get to this place? Romans 10:6-10. "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above." Now, some people believe that, you know, Jesus rose from the dead and He's up in heaven. But the righteousness of faith, don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring it down? You don't have to go up into heaven to bring it down. And Christ was down in the abyss down there. But it says, who will bring Christ up from the abyss or from the dead? But what does it say? It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. It's right there. You don't have to run 1,000 miles or climb the highest mountain to get to God. It's right there within us. Hallelujah. That is, the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, one translation says, confess Jesus is Lord. And what it really means is He's Lord of my life. Hallelujah. As long as He's Lord of my life and I confess with my mouth, I'm saved. Hallelujah. If I don't want to testify to it, I don't want to tell somebody I'm saved or something, maybe I won't be. But it has to come out of here too. Words are very important. The things that you say are something that are really, really important. It's like there's life in them. And so the word of faith is right there. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. And so, even as the song we sing sometimes, you don't have to run 1,000 miles, or you don't have to climb the highest mountain to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. But he's right there. He's right there. And he created us in his image. Like I say, there's something of God in every person. No matter how wicked they might be, there's something of God in that person. Need to recognize that. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So just think about that. Though he was a son, he learned obedience. He came into alignment. You see, he became a man just like you and I. And he had to rely on the Holy Spirit. He had to yield his will to the will of the Father, just like you and I have to do it. He's our example. Hallelujah. And so he had to bring his will into alignment with the Father's will. So even though he was a son, yet he learned obedience or came into alignment from what he suffered. And once made perfect, having surrendered the will of his earthen vessel in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to think about that. I think dying on a cross, I don't think was as big a deal as what was. You think about a holy God, holy and righteous, pure and everything else. And just think about my sin. If that were dumped on him, he had to accept, he had to drink the cup. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then think about it, not just my sin alone, if you hadn't sinned at all. And the sins of the whole world and all the wicked people out there and all the evil things that they had done, take all of that sins upon himself. I believe that was the hardest thing that he had to do. And his body, his man nature, rebelled against having to do that. Father, if it's possible, pass this, you know, take this away. But he said, nevertheless, my will be done. And he surrendered that will finally in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the garden, Jesus' will was not in alignment with the Father's because he kept bringing this prayer up. If it's your will, if, you know, take this cup from me. But he made the final surrender there. Remember, he went and prayed 3 times. You read in the Gospels. He went and prayed 3 times. And this was strenuous, so strenuous that his whole body was in agony to the point to where he was sweating drops of blood. That means the capillaries in his body were crushed and broken and was coming out in a sweat. The blood was literally coming out in a sweat. That was not an easy thing for him to do. But he did it. He came into alignment with the Father's will. And we need to die to our ambitions and our plans and come into alignment or agreement with his purposes. We need to do that. Think about Joseph in the Bible. What did he do? He had 2 dreams. One of the dreams, I think it was sheaves, 11 sheaves, bowed down to his sheaf. He was the one, and his brothers, in other words, would be bowing down to him someday. And then he had another dream. Well, not only like the stars or something would bow down to his star, And even the sun and the moon would bow down, meaning his mom and dad and his brothers would bow down to him. That was a dream that he had. It was a vision, kind of like, that he had. So what happens? Well, first thing, he goes out one day to see his brothers out in the field. And they see him coming, and they hated him. They hated him. His dad favored him over the other brothers, and they hated him. So what did they do? He ended up throwing them in a pit first. They were going to let him die there. And then the caravan came along, and they sold him as a slave into Egypt. I want you to think about that. His father had an inheritance for every one of the sons. So he had an inheritance. But his brothers covered it up, and they ended up killing an animal and soaked his coat in the animal's blood and everything, brought back to his dad. So as far as his dad was concerned, he was dead. He was gone. So there was absolutely no hope at all. The brothers weren't going to come rescue him. They sold him. And dad couldn't, because dad thought he was already dead. And so here he is. He's a slave taken into Egypt. What happened to this dream of his? And not only there, then Potiphar's wife, you know, does something, and he's accused of something he didn't do, and he gets thrown in prison. Goes from bad to worse. I mean, now it's totally impossible for him to ever have his dream come to fruition. But this whole thing, see, was a setup. And before it was all over, he ends up becoming the ruler, second place to Pharaoh, and his brothers had come down, bow down to him, and his mom and dad had come bow down to him, just like he had in the dream. So, you see, it was death of a vision. God may give you a vision or give you a purpose that you really believe that you're going to be doing in your life. You'll have something. I believe I'm walking right now in what God designed for me originally. I'm not bragging. I don't want to do that. But I believe that I'm walking where God intended for me. I didn't know that 20 years ago. I didn't know that just after I was born. I didn't know that. And God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And the interesting thing is about that it's like that has to die to where you can't fulfill it yourself before God steps in and fulfills it for you. So that he gets the glory. He gets the glory out of that. It's called the death of a vision. Death of a vision. So, what we need to do is to bring our will into alignment with the Father's will. And even when we don't understand what's going on, if we keep true to God, keep our trust in Him, He'll bring it to pass. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now it says, and we know, this is past tense. We know this is what it was. We know this is fact. This is to see or beware of. This is truth. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. We show our love for God by obeying His words. We are all in a place of process. We're going through a process. And it's not always easy to do that. And His ways are always higher than our ways, so we don't understand. Sometimes it seems like this is really a dumb deal. God, how could you allow me to do this? He's got a plan and purpose. We don't see the end from the beginning. He does. And though all things are not good, He works them for good in our lives. Hallelujah. And then it says, in whom He foreknew, or who are the called according to His purpose. We're called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, or to know beforehand. See, God knows the infinite. He's living out here in the future. He's living back here in the past. He always existed, and He always is. That's the nature of God. We don't understand that. We don't know how it can possibly be. But He knows what's happening out in the future. He knows what's going to happen out there. And He works those things together for good. So He knew beforehand, He predestined us then to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I think about that. You know, you make cookies. You make cookies. The ladies, they make cookies. You know, they roll out the dough, you know, and everything. And then they get their cookie cutter out there. Maybe it's in the form of a duck. Maybe it's in a bunny rabbit. Maybe it's who knows what it is. And they stamp it out and get that chunk of dough. There it is, in the shape of whatever they want. Okay. God doesn't do it like that. We're all different. We're conformed to the image of His Son, fashioned in the likeness of His Son. Why? That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ was the prototype, and we follow His image. He's the prototype. He's the one that went before. Hallelujah. He's the prototype. He also justified. In other words, He rendered just or innocent to be righteous, just as if we'd never sinned. And He also glorified them, brought glory and honor and magnify to them. I'd like to look at 1 John 3:1-2. 1 John 3:1-2 said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now, right now, we are the children of God. Not next week or not when the Lord comes and takes us up. No, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. So we're changed, but right now, we're the children of God. And when He comes, hallelujah, and our bodies are going to be changed, we're going to be just like Him. Wow. What an awesome thing that's going to be. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Think about that. He had a purpose for us. He had a plan for us. And it was given in Jesus Christ before time began, before we were ever on the scene. Hallelujah. Luke 17:20-21. Now when He was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there. Look, the kingdom is right over here. See that? No. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. It's an unseen kingdom. And when you think it, it's the place where God is reigning. That's the kingdom. And if God is reigning in your heart and in your life, the kingdom is within you. Hallelujah. And if He's not reigning in there, then maybe the kingdom isn't there. But it's where God is reigning. Hallelujah. is where God is ruling. John 17, verses 14 through 16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So he's given us his word. And his word is strength and power and hope, and everything that we have need of is in the word of God. And the world hated us. You ask the world out there today about Christians. They hate us. They're trying to stamp out Christianity. They don't want it. We are a thorn in their flesh. But they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Your life is a preparation for eternity. It's our training ground. A person that's in the armory, in the military, whatever, you have to go through a training period. And that training period is, I understand, pretty rough. They really work you to death in that training that they have to go through. But it's a preparation for going to battle. It's a preparation for doing the job that you were called to do, to serve. And our life here is a preparation. It's a preparation for eternity. We're not going to be sitting around in the clouds up there playing harps. No, we're going to be doing stuff up there. He works. He's always at work. That's what Jesus said. The Father's always at work, and I work. We're going to be working up there, but it's going to be enjoyable work. Hallelujah. So life is a preparation for eternity. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. As we're going through this life down here, there's a way of being in a place of safety that we really don't always think about. Psalm 91, 1 and 2, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. We can live in that secret place of the Most High God. And he is with us. We'll have the faith, we'll have the strength, we'll have everything we have need of as we stay in that hiding place. And it could be right in the middle of a bunch of people, right in a bunch of turmoil. We can have that secret place of the Most High, and we can be in it. And I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Sometimes if we have fear, if we're going through fear, we need to get back into love. We need to get into love, because perfect love casts out fear, gets rid of it. Colossians 1, 26 through 29. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. As the power of the Holy Spirit, as you get working for God, the power of the Holy Spirit comes right in, and he's helping you work. Hallelujah. You're walking in agreement with him, and it's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. Is Christ in you at all times? How about when you sinned or do something wrong? Has he left you? No. Has he given up on you? No. How about if you don't feel him? We go kind of the dark spot, you know. It's kind of, I don't feel him. He's still there. He's still there. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Has he started to work in you? Yeah, he started to work in you. Has he given up on you? No. Is he going to turn his face on you? No, I goofed up. So he's... The devil will come and tell you that, oh, you goofed up, man. You're done. You're toast. You will go through some testing, but you will go come through it victorious because he's never given up on you. He trusts you. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead for with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't let it be in vain. That grace of God has been applied to your life. So we need to be workers together. We need to come into alignment with him. I've thought a lot about this, but God's at work over here. And he's given me permission to come and help him. I'm working together with him. But there's another aspect also. You know, it's like the cookie dough deal I mentioned. He's not just stamping out, okay, there you are. You know, no. We have a will also, and we have to yield that will to him as he works in us. Or it ain't going to happen, right? We're the one that will hold it up. So it's like we have to be willing to come into alignment with his will. We have to come into alignment with him. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them always to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Even to the end of the age. That goes past our life. Revelation 22:12-17. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Hallelujah. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. It's for every one of us. Praise God. But outside are the dogs, the murderers, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, all that. They're outside. And this is a dangerous thing. I see so much. I have a niece that ended up becoming a lesbian. As long as she keeps practicing that lifestyle, she'll never make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's tragic. But the word is the word. It doesn't change. We have to believe the word. We have to trust the word. It's so important for us to come into alignment with what God says and not what man says. We got so-called Christian leaders out there that have gone by the wayside, and they're becoming just like the world. And they're given God's people, supposedly the right to do whatever they want to do with their bodies, with whatever. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Does that mean he's going to give up on you? No, he's going to do it. He called you, he's faithful, but we have to work together with him on that. We have to come into agreement with him. He'll do the work, but we have to come into agreement with that work. So we're on this journey through life trying to make sense of it all. We struggle with our failures, and the enemy constantly reminds us and tells us that we're not worthy. There's no hope for us. We're well aware of our shortcomings and our inability to live like Jesus did. And even Paul the Apostle struggled with these same things as demonstrated in Romans chapter 7 and 8. And so Romans 7, 18 to 20 and verse 24 and 25. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of this death? You know, all of us, there's two of us. There's the old nature and the new nature. And there's a battle, a struggle going on between the two. And we want to make sure the new nature wins out. It's a battle. And so he said, who's going to deliver me from this? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, there's a secret in it. This double nature is in there. The old man is there, the new man is there, and everything. And so what we need to do is set our mind to do what we're supposed to be doing, the new nature. We work on that, and the old nature will fall away. We're not practicing that. We're not being strengthened in that anymore. The new nature is we're doing what God called us to do. In the Spirit, we're doing that, and we're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Paul also declared in 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Of him. You came of him, from him. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as is written, who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we came from God. We were created by God. We came from God. We are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And he has become wisdom for us. You need wisdom? You just seek the Lord. He's got wisdom for you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Somewhere in there, we've probably all been at some time or other. But you were washed. Hallelujah. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, and you've been justified just as if you'd never done it. just as if you'd never done it. But this is not what you are. Revilers, all this other stuff. This is not what you are today. It's not about ourselves. It's about what He has already done for us so that we are to come into alignment. We're to accept by faith and come into alignment and walk in it. So let us grow in knowledge of Him who redeemed us from power of death and brought us new life, even Jesus, our Lord and King. Recognize who you are in God. Recognize who you are in God. He has promised to present you faultless before the Father. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what God says about you? Are you going to believe what others say about you? Or are you going to believe what the devil says about you? No. No. Believe what God says about you. Let's live for Him and give ourselves totally to Him. Walk in the Spirit and you won't walk in the flesh. Believe what He says about you. That's the important part. Believe what He says about you. So who are you? You're a blood-bought new creation. God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The old man's gone. The old man's dead and buried. And we're living in the new life now with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we look to You this evening. I thank You for Your word, Lord, the promises in Your word. I pray that You'd touch our hearts, Lord. Give us life. Lord, give us understanding. Lord, give us revelation of who You really are and who we are in You. Lord, the devil can't touch us when we're in You. He can't touch us when we're in You. So I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit, Lord, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves for who we are and recognize the power of God that's available there for us. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the ability to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we're trusting in what You say about us. We're believing what You say about us. And so I pray that You'll strengthen Your people. Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way that You will get glory, God, that You will make our lives an example for those in the world to follow. We thank You for that. We commit our ways into Your hands now this night. We give You praise. Be with us this week, Lord. Give us Your strength, Lord, as we go from here. Protect us, cover us, Lord, with Your blood. And we thank You for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.